Welcome to the New Grace Sermon Podcast. Our church exists so people experience new life in Christ. We invite you to connect with us on social media at newgrace.cc, on Facebook and Instagram. For more information about our church or to support us financially, visit newgrace.cc.
All right, take your Bible, 1 Kings 17. I don't know if y'all have noticed or not, but I have really been hanging around the kings and the chronicles of the kingdoms. I just find myself over and over going back to it. And here is a passage that is very connected to the previous context and previous things that we've looked at before in recent weeks. But what I want to do quickly is I want to look back at where there was a drought in the land. The Lord told Elijah to pray that it would not rain for the space of 3.5 years because he was judging the land in their idolatry. They lacked belief in the one true God. And the Lord said, okay, well, let's hit everybody where it hurts. Let's dry up the land with drought. And we'll see how y'all respond to an economical crisis. The Bible says in verse number 2, and the word of the Lord came unto him, that is the prophet Elijah, saying, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook. Now that's interesting, they're in a drought. But he says, I want you to get by the brook and I want you to drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the evening, and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook, verse number 7. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. I want to preach this morning on this. There's no reason to doubt in a season of drought. There's no reason to doubt in a season of drought. Let me say very quickly this morning, God wants his people to believe in him. God wants his people to have faith in him. And your entire Old Testament in your Bible is filled with stories where God just wanted his people to believe him and his people to take him at his word. Faith in God is the premise of the Bible. And many times we see in the Old Testament narratives that Israel doubted God. No matter how many times God went out of his way to demonstrate his person, his presence, his power, and his provision, they continually doubted God. They would be down on their luck, and they'd be wondering if the Lord was the one true God. They'd be wondering if God was going to take care of them, and if God would come through, and he would deliver, and he would give them what they need, and they'd be like, oh, you're the one true God. There is no God like Yahweh. You are the Most High. You are the Lord God Almighty. And then they would get used to their blessing, and they would forget about the one that blessed them with it. They'd get so enamored with the gift, they would forget about the giver, and they would forget that he was the one true God, and they would end up being drawn away, enticed, and following after other idol gods. Can I say this? You and I are no different than Israel. We might be separated by a few thousand years, but we do the same thing. God over and over goes out of his way to show his faithfulness to us, and then we get accustomed to what God's doing. We get used to how God's doing it, and there we find ourselves again living a life so-called of faith, yet doubting God. Let me say this. God has a unique way of dealing with doubt. Hear me this morning at 9:00. God will dry up a person's doubt. Because what God will do is he will use circumstances. Always remember that. He will use circumstances. Now, God may not cause the circumstances, but God, as God, will use the circumstances. I wrote this down. The Lord will use a circumstance to develop your dependence on him. Here's my experience personally. Maybe I'm not as saved as you are. Maybe I'm not as spiritual as you are, but here's my experience. If my life has little difficulty, I have little dependence. I'll say that again so it can marinate early this morning. If my life is going through little difficulty, if I am facing little difficulty, I find myself with a little dependence on God. Because usually when my life is easy peasy, everything is whipped cream and peaches and strawberry and all those wonderful things, then I find myself not really depending on God. I'm not praying as much. I'm not reading as much. I'm not seeking Him as much. I'm not mindful as much. I don't acknowledge Him as much. I don't run to Him as much. I don't pursue Him as much. I don't talk to Him as much. Am I talking to anybody in this house this morning? And I find myself in a position, in a place, where sometimes God has to allow difficulty in my life to readjust my dependence on Him. If you know what I'm talking about, somebody say amen. Amen. A life-challenging or a life-changing situation will produce one of two things in your life. It'll produce faith or it will produce doubt. And many times what happens is a life-challenging or a life-changing situation comes along and doubt ends up overshadowing our faith. And we wonder, we may not say this, or we may actually say this, is God going to take care of me? Will God take care of us? You could actually feel that in the room last week when I told you that we had till May to be out of this location. Now, for everybody that was already planning on going to Commerce, there was a disappointment in the room, but there was also a relief because you remember the first time I told you, hey, we have to be out of this location, and we didn't have anywhere to go. But so everybody who's already depending on Commerce being their location, they're like, man, that really stinks. We've been there before. We know how it feels. Thank God there's something 3 miles from my house. But everybody from Baldwin and North and even coming from White County, people are like, oh my God, what are we going to do? And the question that is on the minds of many people is, will God take care of us? I want to say to you very, very carefully, listen to this. The very situation that may cause us to question, how is God going to take care of me, becomes the very classroom where God will once again educate you on His faithfulness, and He will use that situation to dry up the doubt that you have. He will use that to dry up the doubt. See, unknown to Elijah, in this drought, unknown to Elijah are the opportunities and the difficulties that lie ahead, because Elijah was going to be in a situation that was far more serious than no running water. He would soon be on Mount Carmel, and there would be a showdown between Yahweh and Baal, him and the prophets of Baal, and he would need great faith. Let me say this, the showdown that was going to happen very soon in the next chapter, Elijah could not have any room for doubt. I want to say this, God knows what's coming down the path. God knows what's around the corner. God knows what lies ahead, and God knows there's some things that you're going to later face, and you ain't got no room for doubt in those situations, and you got some right now, so you know what God will do? He will allow a drought in your life to dry up not only things, not only finances, not only relationships, not only energy. He will rely and He will allow a drought to dry up your doubt so that you are doubtless in your faith when you are facing the taller mountain that lies down the road. If you believe that this morning, somebody give Him praise in the house. See, in chapter 17, you've got drought in the land, and the drought becomes the means in which God is going to develop Elijah's faith. Let me say this again. Droughts are seasons in your life that are used by God to dry up your doubt, build your faith, and show you God can still provide. A drought is simply this. It is a time in your life when everything is drying up. Some of y'all gonna need to put this in a jar like jam and put it on the shelf, because right now you don't need it, because everything's flowing in your life. But there's gonna come a season you're gonna be like, "What was that sermon that preacher preached? I need to find it on the app, on the podcast. I need to find it because I'm going through a dry spell." You're gonna need this later. Listen to me. God dried up doubt by taking care of Elijah in the following ways. Look at it quickly. Verse number 2, the word of the Lord came unto him. He said, I want you to get out of this place. I want you to go eastward. go hide yourself by the brook Cherith. Now, there's a reason he told him to hide, because Ahab and his witchified wife Jezebel have got a hit out on this guy. So he's like, go hide, preacher man. Go hide by the brook that is before Jordan, and it shall be right there by that brook. Thou shalt drink of the brook. And verse 6 says, he drank of the brook. I want you to write this down quickly. Write down the river. Write down the river. The river. How did God take care of Elijah? He gave him a river. In the midst of a drought, this is interesting to me, in the midst of a drought, God kept a river flowing. God kept a river moving. I wrote this down. God kept Elijah hydrated during a land that was dehydrated. And this is my Bible study. You want to know how I record things? I ask questions. I put, could it be the river flowing was because God wanted to keep it flowing to sustain Elijah? Have you ever wondered that there are some things that continually stay alive and sustain in your life because God wants to make sure it's a means to take care of you? It might not be happening for anybody else, but God has a way of making it happen for you. God gave him a river so that he could drink, a river so that he could stay hydrated, a river so that he could stay alive. I find it interesting. Don't worry, I'm not going to go there. I ain't got time to do it, and I want to save energy for revival night tonight. But isn't it interesting that the river is synonymous with the Holy Spirit in the New Testament? Yet in the middle of a drought, there was a river flowing. It's too early for that. It's too early. Y'all ain't ready for all that. I like this, that God had a river that was flowing that Elijah could drink from. So he's hanging out by the river. He's playing camp out, campground all the time, drinking from the river. And you know what I like? Elijah ain't complaining about the quality of the water. He's not complaining about whether or not it's fresh, whether or not it's filtered. He's not arguing with God about the fresh water source. All he knows is everybody else is running out of water, and God gave me a brook right here in the middle of a dry desert land to make sure I was taken care of. How many of you could agree with your preacher this morning? God's got a way of making sure we stay spiritually hydrated in dry seasons. In dry seasons. I want to say this. I've heard it all the time. I've heard it for years. I'm just going through a dry spell. Well, why aren't you drinking? Why aren't you taking care of yourself? Some of y'all are like, I am drinking. No. Listen to me. Why aren't you taking care of yourself? God's given you everything you need. I'm just not getting fed. Fool, you ain't eating. You got 66 loaves of bread right here. You got a never-ending supply of water for the journey. And you're going to talk about, I'm just going through a dry spell. I hear people say that, and I get it. We all go through them. But here's my thing. Are you drinking from the river that God's got running in your life? Because you got one. And it's inside of you, and it's in the person and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Don't get me down that path. Let's keep going. He says, go hang out by the river. Everybody wrote down river. Now watch this. Verse 4. I have commanded the ravens to feed you. Verse number 6, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening. Here's another way God took care of him. The ravens. I'm going to show you, Elijah, in the middle of a drought, there is no reason to doubt. I'm going to show you. First of all, I'm going to let the river run for you. Secondly, I'm going to use the ravens to provide for you and feed you. Now, this is where the story is getting a little weird for me. I get the whole, there's a river running. But now we got birds bringing bread and flesh in the morning and in the evening. I wrote this down. God used an unconventional method to take care of Elijah. Unconventional. He says, stay by the brook, and I'm going to have ravens deliver your food. Now, here's my question. Does that mean that the ravens... Like, let's be biologically and scientifically honest about this. Were the ravens just happening to flock down to the river with their food because the river was the only water source? And so what the ravens were actually doing is finding their food. They were coming to the river so that they could eat their food and drink their water. And Elijah is just scaring them away and taking their food from them like a boss. Or are they eating, and they've got so much left over as scraps that once those ravens fly away, Elijah then takes their food and eats it? The only problem with those theories is that verse 6 refutes both of those ideas. Because verse 6 says that the ravens brought it to him. You're sitting there by the brook, lounging around drinking water. God is taking care of you while everybody else is paying $15 for a bottle of water down at Sam's Club. And you've got this constant water source flowing right next to you. And then God sends these fowl with food. Here's what's funny. Usually birds only come to you if you're the one with the food. Yet God is so serious about taking care of his own. Oh my God, y'all don't want to hear this. God is so serious about taking care of his own that he will send a bird, a stingy bird, right by the preacher's side to drop down fresh provision. Now, this is the part where I'm like, this is where the picky kicks in. Because a raven is an unclean bird. According to Levitical law in the Old Testament, a raven is an unclean bird. It's a scavenger. Ravens eat roadkill, right? And so I'm like trying to be really spiritual about it. I'm like, well, maybe God makes that roadkill like really enticing, you know? I mean, heck, if he can turn water into wine, he can make poodles and noodles taste like, you know, lo mein and orange chicken. Slab of lab, chunk of skunk, coon on a spoon, smear of deer, all that stuff. Like, bring it, and it's just amazing. Or could it be that God adjusted the appetite of the raven, and it was finding stuff that would be appetizing to the prophet, and he was bringing him what he needed? Here's what I love. I wrote this down. Elijah was having to trust God with a means of provision that broke the way he thought. Because you are not a law-abiding Jew, and you don't touch dead carcasses, and you don't play with dirty birds. You couldn't offer a raven in sacrifice. You could a turtle dove or a pigeon, but you can't offer a raven because it's Levitically, ceremonially unclean. Yet God used the one thing Elijah never would have considered to meet his need when he was most dependent on God. Think about this. God will sometimes break your traditional way of thinking to take care of you. I had somebody years ago ask me in a place of transparency. I like the fact that not everybody that walks through our doors has church etiquette. Not everybody is prim and proper and polished of the way of the brethren. And I had somebody walk in, they said, "Preacher, I just want you to know I've been playing a lot of lottery lately." I said, "Really?" Yeah, I play a lot. I've been praying and playing. I said, "Tell me more." He said, what I want to know, this was back when we were really, really in need of some campaign money trying to fund the mission. He said, If I was to win that Mega Millions, what would you say if I was to tithe off the winnings and give it to New Grace?" I said, "I believe God will let the devil pay for his kingdom work." I said, "You just write that check, N-E-W-G-R-A-C-E." I said, "Let me tell you something. I here's what I know. I know God uses dirty birds to take care of this church." Come on, somebody. Come on. Some of us were the outcast, unclean birds. We were the filthy fowl of the world. And we thought, man, God could never use me. God could never bless me. God could never allow me to be a part of what he's doing. And look at you now. Look at you now. Look how God's used you. Look how God's blessed you. God's put you at the table in this church. God's put you on a team in this church. God put you on the platform. God gave you a role. God lets you be a blessing. Now you support and you give and you invest in what he's doing. Don't tell me God can't use somebody, anybody that God puts his hand on and anybody God puts his word in, anybody God fills with his spirit, anybody God regenerates and anybody that God touches. I like what the Lord told Peter. Don't you dare call that which is common uncommon. Don't call that which is clean unclean. That's right. I can use them. And he did. He used a bird, a scavenger as a means to take care of Elijah. But I want you to look at verse 7. Look at verse 7. Notice what it says. It came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Here's the real test. Now the brook is drying up. The very thing that was his well water has now dried up and become empty. Let me say this. Every spiritual person in this room knows what it's like to have your brook dry up. A lot of y'all have had things dry up in these last few months that was running just fine for years. Some of y'all have found yourself at a crossroads of crisis where you are financially drying up. Some of you are married to an individual and you've been drying up your marriage, your love, your affection, your attention. It's in a drought. Some of you are spiritually, mentally, emotionally, you are drained. You're dehydrated. You're dried up. You have days, if you're honest, and you, the devil, and Jesus could testify in your honesty, you have days where you're like, I don't know if I can keep doing this. I don't know if I want to keep doing this. I'm just gone. I'm just dry. I'm drier than cracker juice. I'm just gone. I'm tired. For some of y'all getting up and coming to church this morning, you're just spiritually drained. Where there used to be praise, now there's just this complacent apathy. Where there used to be this fervent spirit and this fire, now there's just this flaky, fake it till you make it. Just dried up. And you've been sitting by the thing that God used for so long. What do you do when your primary provision just dries up? I like this. I like this. I wrote this down. My stuff's coming loose right here. Somebody said, You got a Nicoderm patch on? Is that what that is, preacher? I love our church. I love our church. Is that a Nicoderm patch? No, it's a Band-Aid holding my wires in place. If I had a Nicoderm patch on, you wouldn't see it. I wrote this, even the spirit can dry up. It did for Paul. Not to leave you, but to move you. Sometimes God will just kind of, how long is it going to take you to realize I'm done right there? Have you noticed that there ain't nothing running there anymore? Have you noticed that my hand's not on that? You know why my hand's not on that? Because I moved my hand somewhere else and I need you to get where my hand is now. He don't do it to leave you. He does it to move you. He did it to Paul. There's scripture where Luke records in the book of Acts talking about Paul that the Spirit forbade them to go to Asia. He's like, you can't do that. Why? That's not a bad thing. Why can't we do that? Why would you not let us go there? I don't want you to go there. And it ain't for the clay to argue with the potter what the potter wants to do with the clay. Sometimes he lets the brook dry up. And the Bible says the word of the Lord came unto him. Ain't it funny God didn't say anything to him until the brook dried up? Now you're sitting there days on end watching this thing dry up. Lord, dost thou know about the brook? I mean, all the way till it got to a little trickle. He's watching it just trickle and he's like, what doest thou? And then it dries up. Then God speaks. It's like God waits until he's got your attention. Oh, I'm still here. Okay, is the brook dried up? It is, isn't it? Okay, now here's what I want you to do. Now I want you to get up, and I want you to go to Zarephath. Now this, see, to me and you were like, Zara, what? This would make Elijah laugh. Because Zarephath was 100 miles away from this brook, and he had to walk right through the territory of where there was a hit out on his head. In fact, Zarephath was about 8 miles from Sidon. Sidon is where Jezebel was born. Remember, Jezebel is the king's wife who wants to kill him. And God says, I want you to go to a town right next to Sidon, Zarephath, and dwell there. Watch this. Zarephath, I'm digging right now. Are y'all still with me? Because I done popped your swimmies. Are you with me? We're going a little deeper. Going a little deeper. I'm trying to teach. It's a Sunday school. Meet Sunday morning service. Are you ready? Go to Zarephath. It's interesting. Zarephath was a manufacturing district for smelting and melting of metal to make idols of Baal. Zarephath in the Hebrew means, see, I had river, I had ravens, and I was like, Lord, I need another R word. Zarephath means refinery. I want you to go down to the refinery where we purify, where we melt, where we remove everything that, oh God, help me, where we remove all the impurities and we're left only with that which is pure, authentic, and genuine. I'm trying to cast out your doubt. I'm purifying your faith. I'm using rivers and I'm using ravens. So I'm going to bring you down to the final phase in the refinery and purify your faith. See, some of y'all ain't been seeing it. It ain't clicked till right now. Right now it's clicking. All the stuff you've been through, from rivers to ravens down to the refinery, God's been trying to purify your faith and your belief, because with your mouth and your lip service, you declare his wonders and his works, but your heart ain't aligned with what's coming out of your mouth. And God said, I'm going to get you to a point and a place where you believe me wholeheartedly, where your faith is pure, where your belief is authentic, where your trust is genuine, where you don't lean on your understanding, but you trust in me with all of your heart and all of your soul and all of your mind. He says, go down to the refinery, because at the refinery, he would refine Elijah's faith one more time. Notice the word. If you're still taking notes, remember, write the word. This is the bottom of the funnel. Let me expound very fully right here. The word, the word, the word. What was the word? God gave Elijah a word. He said, go down there to Zarephath, and there I will provide for you. Go down to Zarephath and I will use a widow to sustain you. The word. God wants to know today, do you believe in his word? Do you believe that God is good for his word? You ever try to take somebody's word for it and they weren't good for the word? You're never going to find that with God. Because when God says what God tells you, I'm telling you, you can take it to the bank. You can build on it. It's true. It's forever settled in heaven. The flower and the grass of the field fadeth away. But Isaiah said, the word of the Lord, it endures forever. God said, I'm going to take care of you down there. And this time I'm going to use a widow woman. Everybody write widow. The word, the widow. He gets to Zarephath and he finds the widow. Let me come down here and talk to y'all. He comes to Zarephath. He finds the widow. And you know what I like is, it was just no doubt who the widow was. He gets to Zarephath and he finds the widow, and she is gathering sticks to make a fire. This girl is so poor, she can't even buy firewood from Billy Bob, who's got it out in front of his driveway. She's so poor, she can't go down to Kroger and buy some off the front of the place. Who would want to anyway when Billy Bob's got it for sale for half the price, right? She's so poor, she is walking around the city gathering sticks for a fire. And so Elijah, it's obviously revealed to him in spirit that she is the widow. And then by faith, he speaks to her. And when Elijah speaks to her, he does two things. First, he requests a drink of water, which is a rather bold request considering we're in a drought. Will you go fetch me a glass of water? And she, knowing he's a prophet, because prophets wore a certain cloak or clothing, remember this is the same coat he would cast over young Elisha, she recognized the prophet's cloak, and so she's going to obey what he says. Can you fetch me some water? So she's on her way to get water, and as she's going to get water, he calls to her and says, hey, can you bring me a cake too? This is what we would call this a pancake. Can you bring me a pancake too? Because, you know, Elijah's assuming, like, you're here to take care of me. God told me to come here. You were going to take care of me. Can I have some water and a pancake? I'm kind of hungry and thirsty. And as he calls to her and she's going, I want you to see her response. Her response in verse number 12 cracks me up. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth. What's this? Here it is, right? Here it is. He comes, he says, hey, girl, can you get me some water and a pancake? Because I'm feeling famished. I'm wore out from the 100-mile journey. Can you take care of the man of God? And she says, as the Lord your God liveth. She ain't even saved. She called it his God. If she was saved, she would have said, the Lord my God, as the Lord my. She said, as the Lord your God. This girl ain't even saved. Look at this. As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake. I got a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, look at this. I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son that we may eat it and die. If I'm Elijah, first of all, I'm like, girl, you're not even saved. And then I can kind of reconcile that because I'm like, well, he was using an unclean bird. He's using a Gentile widow to take care of me. She don't even know about my God. Apparently, something's going to happen here and she's going to figure out who my God is, right? Because God's about to do something, right? She's going to become a believer out of this. And she says, I don't have a cake. I got a little handful of flour and a little bit of oil and a cruse, and me and my son are about to make our last meal and die. If I'm Elijah, first of all, I'm like, oh, hold up. What, you mean you don't know about this? Like, you mean God didn't tell you what he told me? And then secondly, if she says, we about to eat and die, I'm thinking, Lord, do you know about this? Do you know what you're doing? Because this don't sound like what I heard. And I want you to see, lastly, the word, the widow, the way. Right, the way. Because what Elijah's got to build his faith on is the way God's going to do this. Because of the river, because of the raven, I believe that Elijah trusted God with the way God was about to do this. Look at verse number 13. Elijah said unto her, fear not. I like this man. He is talking out of a place of doubt-free faith. His faith has been refined. He's got the river. He's got the raven. Now the refinery has purified his faith. There is no doubt in his conversation. He says, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first and bring it unto me and make for thee and for thy son. Now we're not only challenging the preacher's faith. Now we're challenging the widow's faith because what he says to her is, I tell you what, go make a cake, the last one you have that you just said is going to be y'all's last meal. Make that cake, bring it to me. Well, he almost sounds like one of them prosperity gospel preachers you'd see on the televangelist show, don't he? Bring it to me, then God will take care of you. He's not preying on this girl's ignorance. This is a faith move. And he says, tell you what, bring it to me. Because it has occurred to Elijah that what is happening is no longer about his faith. Oh, y'all ain't with me. You ain't hearing me. This is no longer about his faith. Now this is about hers. I want you to see what my God can do. So you bring me a cake, and I guarantee you, if you'll bring me a cake, as the word of the Lord has commanded, there will be enough left for you. What are you talking about, fool? There's one little handful of flour and just enough oil for one pancake. And you're telling me that Jesus is about to bisquick us with a blessing from heaven? Are you telling me that if I make it for you, somehow there's going to be more? Notice what he said. Verse 14, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Let me tell you something, young lady. Listen to me. He says the oil and the flour is going to last until God finally makes it rain. She went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. It's the unexplainable. I've used this before. It's almost like what mirrors the feeding of the 5,000 with the fish and bread. God pulled it out There's your cake. Here's my cake. Here's your son's cake. That's day one. When you look in the bowl, it's the same amount of flour, the same amount of oil, but something miraculous that you can't explain happens when she reaches in and pulls out another cake and another. Are y'all here? I'm talking about pancakes for days. Like IHOP ain't ever offered a special. How many of y'all know IHOP pancakes? That is an itch you want to scratch every now and then. Come on, somebody. Bless God. When they have that whole as all you can eat pancakes, I walk in there, they ask for a deposit. Come on, Jared, help me close. Help me close. I wrote this down. The drought built the faith of Elijah, the widow, and the boy. The drought built the faith of Elijah, the widow, and the boy. The boy. The boy. Everybody write boy and circle it. The boy. The boy. The boy. Elijah, the widow, and the boy. The boy represents faith coming to the next generation. God used a drought to bring faith to the next generation. I was looking at this story, and it was like the Spirit of God said, hey, did you notice that the way I provided for Elijah in this story is the same way I took care of New Grace? Have you noticed that? That you had to leave, so I put you by a river that wasn't supposed to last forever. I use unconventional methods and unconventional means to take care of you. I use stuff that was taboo and not traditional to take care of y'all. And then I let that brook dry up, and I put you in a place where I'm refining your faith. I'm refining your faith because what I want to do later with y'all, there ain't no room for doubt. So I put you in a drought to cast out your doubt. Do you know what the byproduct was of the river, the raven, and the refinery? The next generation finding faith in the one true God. I want to tell you something really cool. It's almost like God has little ways of confirming his word. Sunday, I told you, we have to go. We have to be out by May. Yeah, we have another location. I met with a big group of people on Sunday night from up here talking about what God was going to do next and the different options we have and the different things. And I've had all kind of things reaching out to me just in the last 7 days. Potential opportunity here, potential opportunity there. We'll see what comes of it. Tuesday, we started NG Students. This thing's been on hold for a long time. We got new leadership. And JJ and Kayla and Austin and Kelsey was at home sick. They ministered to the students here. I'm talking rivers, ravens, refineries, like we're drying up. What are we going to do? We have students here and we have our first one. It's a big hit. It's a success. The gospel was preached and declared. And I got a message late Tuesday night from Kayla. Me and Ashley got a message from Kayla that said, when Jared's girls went back home, Bethany was asking a lot of questions about what she heard. And there in their living room before they went to bed, Bethany gave her life to Christ and was saved. That man and his wife and his family, it's not my testimony or story to tell, but they have went from river to raven to refinery. And if they thought they were going to catch any breaks, they jumped on board with a church full of people that were going through the same freaking thing. And ain't it funny that together the lines intersected and crossed at a place in a pathway where God again said, this is not just about your faith. It's about the faith of the ones that are following you. God will use a season of drought to cast out every reason of doubt. And today is another step in that direction. God's going to take care of you. If you're in here and you're questioning, is God going to take care of me? Ask Elijah, can he do it? Will he do it? And sometimes you have to just trust God with the way he's going to do it. Because God never asked your permission on how he's going to do it. But you better believe it. At the end of the day, you're left with more faith and less doubt. Somebody give him praise in the house. Come on.
Thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button on your favorite podcatcher. New episodes are posted each week on Tuesday.